Radio.
Hello and welcome to CryptoCurrent, the only podcast to bring you beginner and advanced knowledge of cryptocurrency and blockchain, analyses of cryptocurrency markets, and discussions on growing a business within the crypto space. Stay tuned and stay CryptoCurrent.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of CryptoCurrent. Your host here, Richard Carthon. And today I have a special guest all the way out in Bali, my man, Jeff Kurdikas. Man, how do you say your last name? I don't want to butcher that too bad.
You know, you're the closest to most people. It's Kurdikas.
Kurdikas. All right, man. Well, yeah. How you doing today?
I'm doing awesome, Richard. How are you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing amazing. I'm happy that I got to catch you, man. It's we met almost about a year ago. And since, man, just been able to see all the amazing things that you're doing in the crypto space, blockchain space, entrepreneurial space. You have a lot of different irons on some different fires, man. So can you just tell us a little bit about yourself and give us some background and what you're up to?
Yeah. Like you say, I'm definitely like a serial entrepreneur. I have a lot of things going on. My background really wasn't anything that kind of like lured me into entrepreneurialism. I started as a firefighter. I was one of the youngest firefighters to get on in my city, like ever. And, but just felt like so caught up. They called it the golden ball and chain. It was kind of like this dream job, but it just kind of holds you down. And I just had this feeling like, I want to break out. I want to get doing something new. And so when I went into the world trying to start myself a permaculture farm. And, on that journey, I discovered about, wheat stocks and, in particular, like, the guy, Justin Trudeau was getting elected to Canada. And I'm like, okay, well, wheat stocks are going to be a huge hit here. So I threw a bunch of investment into there. And that kind of kickstarted my journey into the whole investment and entrepreneurial space. And since then, yeah, it's just been an addiction for serial entrepreneurialism, for sure. I just really love bringing ideas and creativity into reality. I think a lot of people like working with their hands and building with their hands. And I guess if I was to summarize myself, I'd be, I guess you could say like a structure architect, you know, just like systems of people and organizations. I really nerd out on that stuff. So yeah.
No, that's good to know, man. You and just as you said, I know you've kind of just been all over the place, and just even your insertion into the investment world is very unique in how you got into that. So of course you started there, and then somehow you got into cryptocurrency and blockchain. So tell us, like, how did you get involved and started in this space?
Yeah, well, I had known about Bitcoin for a long time, but it had never really kind of blown my hair back much. But then once Ethereum came around, I realized, okay, this blockchain is, there's a lot more to this than just a payment network. Right. And so as soon as I realized, hey, you know, Ethereum actually allows us to remove middlemen and to totally reinvent the way that our world does finance, does interactions, does supply chain management, pretty much any system that has a middleman, including banking. It's like, well, you can remove that now. And so I just thought, well, this is the future. And like, there's no way we can go back. I like the kind of the cat's out of the bag. And so I spent really, like, there's no exaggeration, the next 2 months after I found out about Ethereum, awake till like 4 a.m. is when I like had my shutdown time. Just researching Ethereum and just really nerding out on it. So I kind of have that addictive personality. So when I was like, this is the next big thing. And yeah. So I went really heavy, really fast.
Yeah. So interesting that you bring up Ethereum, because again, disclaimer for everyone listening, this is not financial advice. I'm a big fan personally of Ethereum and just what they're building, man. There's so much being built on top of Ethereum to where I'm just like, it has to work. It's either going to work really well or it's going to fail, crash and burn. But like, there's just way too much being put into this for it like not to succeed, which is, I think, awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it is a little bit of a race against time right now, because like you say, there's so much being built on top of Ethereum. And if they don't scale fast enough, we're going to congest the network again, like we saw with CryptoKitties. It only takes one big app that has a high transaction throughput, and it's clogged. And so, you know, proof of stake, they're saying that should be around this by the end of the month or something like that. But I don't know how many times we've heard that story. I think proof of stake was supposed to be out like 2 years ago or something. So it's just been like, they've been dragging their feet. But yeah, I tell you what, if proof of stake goes through without a hitch, Ethereum is, the price is just going to go through the roof, because right now, you know, EOS is just such a big competitor to Ethereum. I know a lot of people FUD EOS, but it does a great job. So for anyone who's new, Ethereum is just really slow right now. And this new upgrade that they're potentially getting within a month could bring them back to number one really quickly.
Yeah, shoot them up. And as you said, clogging up the network. And if you just have that speed, because we're working to try to get to mass adoption. And Ethereum has made a really good, like, just baseline platform that could really help that happen and help that ease of use in a lot of different ways from all the different projects that are being built on top of it. But as you said, it just goes back to, can they actually make proof of stake work? But so now, you start looking into Ethereum. You're like, wow, this is really cool blockchain. There's something to this. What was kind of like the next progression and kind of like made you get like deeper into this? Because I know you started getting a part of some different Facebook groups. And starting to grow some of those and really diving deeper into the space. So tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, the Facebook groups, the Ethereum, the diving deeper, they all went hand in hand. I mentioned weed stocks earlier. Me and my buddies, we chatted about weed stocks till our faces turned blue when we were investing in those. And so just me and my friends, I started the group Ethereum Investing, invited all the friends in. And so we were just chatting about Ethereum and, keyword Ethereum investing, somebody's searching it on Facebook. And then before you know it, we have 20 people, 50 people, 100 people. And I'm like, should I stop this? Like, this is for my friends. Like, right. I don't know. Is this public or private? And I thought, yeah, I'll let it go public and just see where it goes. If I want, I can shut it down, start a new one. Anyways, long story short, that grew to 40,000 people. So I decided, hey, I'll launch another one called Cryptocurrency Investing. That one grew to about 140 today. And that was kind of, it just was so conducive for me to continue my journey deeper because then it provided a platform. Like, my big thing is I love to learn a lot. And then just to regurgitate that information in a summarized way, I find it helps me learn it better. And I find people really value condensed information because sometimes the information that you pick up, it's like 5 hours of reading. And I just want to split my head open reading this stuff. It's quite complex. Right. So it's like, if you can't explain it simply, you don't fully understand it. So I really enjoy learning it and then condensing it so that people can digest the information pretty quickly.
Oh man, 100%. And like just on that strain of thought, that's why when I consciously like started this podcast, I want to be short, concise, and like to the point, but also being able to have enough depth to where you can fully give value without having to like drag it on and on and on. Cause like, I mean, you know, it, eventually you start talking and it gets repetitive and it gets redundant and you're like you're just dragging me down this hallway. And so talk to us a little bit more about like CCI and how you were able to like grow that. Like, did it organically just take its own legs? Did you like do some things to like engage with the group? What are like the community building tactics that you did to like connect and be able to meet a bunch of people? Because I know through this, through, you know, creating huge groups like this, you meet all kinds of people working on all kinds of stuff and it just opened up new opportunities that weren't even really on your radar. So talk to us a little bit about like how that came to be.
Yeah, I mean, step one for sure, the crucial part was just strong SEO, you know, words that people were already searching in. That kind of happened by fluke for Ethereum investing. And then I realized, oh, okay, this is why it happened. So cryptocurrency investing is the logical next one. Right. And so that grew because of SEO. But there's lots of groups online that, you know, have or on Facebook that have the name Bitcoin or Bitcoin investment or whatever. And I'm sure, you know, we're both on them and they suck. And it's because there's two main aspects I find that give a group quality once somebody's entered the group. And that's, you know, a moderated, I guess you say moderation or a quality control filter. That's a better way to say it. And the second thing, leaders in the space who are kind of driving the conversation in a progressive direction rather than just posting memes and jokes. And I think that's the big trend in a lot of these crypto groups right now is just, maybe it's not even the trend, but it's what it seems that the trend is because of the Facebook algorithm. It's like people post a meme, it gets 1,000 likes. People post an article or a podcast. Like, for example, we post this podcast, it's going to get like, oh, not that much engagement. But then if we post a meme with our faces saying something funny, oh, it's going to go through the roof. So it's
right.
Yeah. I don't know. It's this weird dynamic that I'm kind of playing with. Just, I don't want to ramble on too much, but I thought it was really funny is how I've been structuring my posts recently. And this is maybe good for people who are looking for better engagement in their content. I'll hook them in with a meme that's related to the content, and then I'll post the content below or in the description or in the comments, and gets way more engagement than if I just went in heavy with the content. It's like Gary Vaynerchuk's jab, jab, punch technique. It's like jab him with the funny, punch him with the content. When the whole time you're adding value, it's just like, it's becoming so hard to add value to people these days. It's like attention deficit disorder.
Constantly trying to find new ways to get them hooked in and actually pay attention, because there's just so much stimulation out there. And I think, you know, that's even valuable in how you presented that, because I'm sure people that are listening that are trying to get their content in front of people or even just thinking about new ways, it's a good new tactic that they can particularly use. So I appreciate you for sharing that. But going back into, you know, so now you're going through the Facebook group. You have a bunch of other groups that you're a part of. You're getting to network, meet with a bunch of other people. You're traveling now. Tell us kind of about that journey. Is like, you know, you're working on some of these different projects, and I know you're working on some different things, and like now you're living full time in Bali. Kind of like, tell us about that whole process.
Yeah. I mean, to be able to like give an answer that adds value to people, I think the biggest thing is just like becoming genuinely interested in like awesome projects and realizing that there's so much opportunity in the crypto space for people who are enthusiastic and ready to add value. You know, there's been a lot of projects where like, hey, we'd like to, you know, promote in the group or do giveaways. And there's a lot that I say no to, but then there's a lot that I, you know, I look into and like, oh, this is an awesome project. And so then you get talking with them and you dive in and they're like, yeah, we're like looking for a marketing guy. And so you team up. But to kind of give some context, I was working with this one project called Crowd Machine for a little while. Okay. And there was one guy in the Telegram group who did such an amazing job. Just like, he just loved the project and he was answering everyone's questions. And long story short, he actually outworked me. They hired this guy for a month. We worked side by side, then they fired me. And I'm like, oh, no way. So it just kind of, but it goes to show how like you don't have to have a resume in the crypto space to be able to make these really cool connections with companies. You know, just be active in their Telegram, their Discord, get in there and be excited, talk about it, share it on social, because they're looking for that. And like with my project Uptrend, you know, the same. We brought on some people just because they were excited about the project. Right. Those people you want on your team.
So let's two things real quick. So before I go into Uptrend, tell us a little bit more about like, you make a really great point. So people are always looking for job ops and people are always looking for opportunities to be able to work in this space, both crypto and blockchain. And you laid some really good foundation of ways that you can do that. Just go in and engage, answer questions. Like you don't have to have a huge background. There's not a lot of people with actual years of experience in this space because it's so new. So people are just looking for people that are fired up, have energy and grit, and just want to go get it. And that's how you can really dive into that.
100%. Yeah, I nailed it.
Yeah. And on that trend, so you were talking about Uptrend. Tell us a little bit about that and what you got going on with that.
Yeah, so Uptrend kind of was born of a although we have a big Facebook social media network, it was born out of a distaste for Facebook, really, and how, you know, they're leaking our data, they're censoring our information, and they're really giving us nothing in return. You're not making anything. So the whole idea of Uptrend is, you know, keep your data secure and get paid for the content that you're providing and have a total a platform where it's full freedom of speech. So on Uptrend, you know, every time it's kind of like right now it looks similar to Reddit. So every time you get an upvote on a post or a comment, you know, you're earning one up token, which is equivalent to around 5 US cents, but you can level your account up. Like there's gamification things. It could be worth like 15 cents per upvote or more. So like we've had guys making within the first 2 months of our like beta launch, like 1800 US. So wow. It's just like, it's the whole idea. The reason why I created Uptrend is because I feel it would be so cool and empowering to be able to allow, you know, people like yourself who is a content creator or an artist or a musician or, you know, a blogger or an article writer. Like imagine if we could all just live through our passions. It's like, you like creating podcasts? Like, hell yeah, man. Post on Uptrend, get it upvoted. That's your salary for the day. You know, you like, if somebody likes taking selfies of their meal or of themselves at the beach, like post it, get some upvotes. And so that's the big idea, is that I think, you know, our world's so interconnected now, we're living online. And I feel that the next progression is, you know, we're going to be able to like kind of move our jobs into these areas that we actually enjoy. You know, you kind of already see it with Instagram influencers, but Uptrend wants to take it in like a more holistic direction, I guess you could say.
Yeah. And you hit a lot of really cool points there. And the fact that people should be getting like value back for value that they're giving out to the world, right? So if there's a way that, you know, even through the gamification, because I think that is a huge market in itself, because people vibe with that and can connect with it, but also to be able to receive salary, the fact that someone, you said in the first, you know, couple weeks or a couple months was able to make $1,800, like that's why, like, you know what I'm saying? Like it motivates people that are already doing what they love to, like, wow, I can turn this into something that is sustainable. And
yeah,
I think you're really onto something here. And I it's going to be cool to see this progress over time and what you got going with it.
Yeah. We're super excited about it. It's just been this like big bootstrap thing. Everyone on the team is, you know, pretty new to the startup land. So we're all learning as we go, but it's been a lot of fun for sure. We're all bootstrapping our faces off with just minimum funding, but it's been a fun game. One of my favorite quotes, and maybe Tony Robbins who said it, or who knows, maybe it was just super calm. Resources you have, that's important, but it's how resourceful you can be that's important. And so that's kind of been our big staple. Mm-hmm.
Good, man. And if there's one thing I know about you, you're resourceful. And on that thought of resourcefulness, man, like, I know that you've seen a lot of projects over the years and that there's probably a couple that are on your radar right now. Is there one in particular that like has your attention and you're like, man, like people need to be paying attention to this outside of Ethereum?
For sure. I mean, there's definitely a few. If I was going to go for one right now, one that I'm particularly diving in on is called Emanate. And so this is essentially, you could see it as like Spotify 2.0. And to just give a quick overview of it, imagine if, you know, you're an artist and you're collaborating with XYZ musician, like how do you know right now who gets paid out for what? And it takes years to get paid out. So as soon as you collaborate, it's put into the smart contract, put into the song. And then every time a song gets listened to, you instantaneously get micropayments. It's just such a smooth way to do it. So it's like, there's no reason that a musician would ever upload to Spotify except for reach, obviously. And the Emanate platform, they just released their alpha demo on their disc. Like, you can probably find it somewhere, but it looks awesome. So yeah. I'm really excited to see where they take it. I think music is something that, you know, is like just a staple and that people that really connect with. I love music, so I'm kind of nerding out on Emanate right now.
No, it makes sense. It's very practical. And the fact that I know that's a huge issue for a lot of musicians. I personally know that, you know, getting paid and just figuring out like who gets paid what and like all the collaborations and everything that's with it. And if you can simply put that aside and like you're basically constantly getting this royalty on deck and you can like go to your platform or backend infrastructure and see that, that's huge.
Mm-hmm.
Can you say the name of that one more time?
Emanate. So it's Emanate. And then I think it's like,
gotcha. Okay. So Emanate. And so also there's a lot of like cool things that are coming into the space, but there are some things in the horizon that aren't just here yet, but we should probably be on the lookout for. What's something that is on the way that you think people need to be paying attention to in the space?
Yeah. Two major trends that I'm just so jazzed about. One is security tokens. And the other is decentralized autonomous organizations. I think both of these things are just, DAOs are going to take a lot longer to come into the mainstream, but security tokens are going to be hitting it really quick, really fast. So for anyone who doesn't know, security token essentially allows you to tokenize any assets. So you can tokenize real estate buildings. You can tokenize the stock market, so it trades 24 hours a day. And DAOs, decentralized autonomous organizations, essentially allow you to, instead of having like a pyramid shape for your corporate structure, it very much looks like a distributed blockchain where the network makes the decision. So all the users on YouTube would decide what feature gets implemented rather than the CEO. It's kind of the big idea. So
yeah,
I'm super pumped on both of those.
That's awesome. And people, if you're listening right now or watching, go check this out. Look more into this. A lot of great things that are on the way. And so first, Jeff, wow, a lot of awesome, like just valuable tidbits in there, man. And it's always great to have conversations with you. But the way I always like to close out podcasts and interviews and everything is to ask for like one final thought that you would like to leave with all of the listeners and viewers today. So what would that be?
Oh, that's a good question. I'll relate it to crypto, I guess, and people's FOMO and entry points. That when you think about it, in the cryptocurrency space, everyone thinks, oh, it's too late to get in. You know, the big hype wave has already happened. And an interesting thought to think about is how many people on a daily basis use Bitcoin or cryptocurrencies for payment transactions, or how many people use decentralized applications or security tokens or DAOs, and on percentage, it's less than 0.01. And so in my mind, until we're at 50%, 60, 70% adoption, we have so much room to the upside. Yada, yada, not investment advice, but we got a lot of room to grow. It's going to be a crazy next few years. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And I appreciate that final thought, because I agree. We're still, like, if you look at, you know, the bell curve, we're still at early movers, right? I don't even think we're at, like, first adopters. We're still at early movers. And so we're only 10 years in. There's still so much more to come. But, man, I appreciate you so much for being on the show today. What are some different ways that people can connect with you?
You can connect. You know what? Best way? I'll just pump my own platform right now. Uptrend.com, two N's, and just search my name, Jeff. I'll be right there. And connect with me on Uptrend. It's the best spot.
Perfect. Well, I'll make sure I include that in the show notes. But again, Jeff, all the way from Bali, man, a pleasure having you on the show today. And man, we'll have to do this again in the future.
Would love it, Richard. Thanks a lot for having me, man.
All right, man. Appreciate it.
This has been another episode of Crypto Current, bringing you one step closer to becoming a crypto and blockchain aficionado. We look forward to giving you the latest in crypto news and analyses next week. Stay Crypto Current.